Good evening. Matthew chapter 26 will be our scripture text for this evening. Verse 36 is where we'll begin. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. And as you can imagine, in no small way, Cindy and my prayer life has been really encouraged. And the Lord has overwhelmingly blessed us, and we're humbled by the fact that we don't deserve His goodness, and we just praise Him for His goodness towards us, and we appreciate your prayers, and we really enjoyed the year of emphasis on prayer, and I certainly needed it, and God is continuing to teach us about prayer, and in many ways, working on our hearts. And this evening I'd like us to look at another area, an aspect of prayer this evening from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. We'll read down to verse 46. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this evening, we admit, dear Lord, that we need thee. We need you, God, to work in our lives in a supernatural way, Father. We thank you for the power of your word to change our hearts, to lead us into truth, dear God, and to, Lord, help us to become more like our Savior. We pray, dear God, that you would speak to each one of us this evening. I pray, Father, that you would fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. And, dear Lord, may you be glorified by all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Leading up to the Lord's betrayal and his arrest here in Matthew chapter 26, we see that the Lord chose to use his last moments in preparation for what's coming in prayer. He chose to pray. And we see in verse 37 that he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which the Bible tells us were James and John. So he went with these three men into the garden and he asked them in verse 38, and again in verse 41, to pray. He asked them to pray as he prayed. And we see in the Bible, as we've just read, that the Lord went a little further and he prayed. And when he came back, he found them asleep. He found his disciples asleep. And then he asked them to pray. He commanded them to watch and pray. In verse 41, and after a little while, he came back again and found them sleeping again. But what I want you to notice is what the Lord says when he returns for the final time in verse 45. The Bible says, Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now, I don't believe the Lord was approving of their sleep. I don't believe that the Lord was commending them for sleeping and just allowing them to sleep. We know that the Lord, we've seen it just a moment ago, that the Lord returned. And the gospel tells us that he reminded them three times to pray. He wanted them to pray. And what the Lord was simply telling them to do was not to wake up and to start praying now, because there's no more time left to pray. There's no more time left. In fact, the Lord said, "Behold, the hour is at hand." It's too late to pray, the Lord said. It's too late. The hour is at hand. There was no more time left to pray. In fact, there was no more time left at all. In verse 46, we see the Lord says immediately, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Notice verse 47, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people." So what we learn from these verses, and particularly verse 45, is that prayer has a time limit. Prayer has a time limit. These men had a limited time to pray. They had an hour to pray. The Lord had commanded them to pray. It's not that they didn't have any time. That wasn't the problem. But they chose not to. They missed their opportunity. And there was nothing they could do. When the Lord returned, he said, "Behold, the hour is at hand." They couldn't ask the Lord for any more time. They couldn't ask him to wind back the clock, to give them just another hour. The Lord said, "No, there is no more time." And sadly, they had to bear the consequences of not praying. They had to bear the consequences of going into what they're about to face spiritually unprepared. "The hour is at hand," the Lord said. There was no more time to pray. And it's a very challenging truth, isn't it? When we think about the fact that we can wait for too long and suddenly it's too late to pray. Because usually that's the opposite to how we think, isn't it? We think we have all the time in the world to pray. In fact, we can pray at any time. And to a point, that's true. Because we have that privilege as Christians to come before the throne of God at any time. Boldly, we have that privilege to pray at any time, and certainly the Lord hears us at all hours. But sometimes we forget that God doesn't stop time in order for us to pray. He doesn't stop time and wait for us to pray and then answer our prayers accordingly. Time goes on. And what the Lord spoke to me about concerning these verses is that there's a danger in putting off prayer and waiting until it's too late. And then we have to come face to face with the opportunities that come our way. And even in our lives that are coming our way, and we won't be prepared. We'll miss out on glorifying the Lord in those moments and being used of God. And we'll limit God's working through us. And we need to pray on time. We need to pray on time. And it seems amazing to me as I look at the church anniversary brochure. It was only a year ago that we took that photo. And our anniversary is here already. And the Bible college meetings are just around the corner. And how the Lord really blessed that last year. And how much we need the Lord once again to bless this year. And it's already here. Christmas is coming. And all the opportunities that we were presented with last year. And we're praying for even more. And they're just up ahead. And as much as time has flown, as much as the year has gone by so quickly, the time that we have to pray for those events, for those opportunities, are just around the corner. And if we're not careful, we'll put off prayer until it's too late. We'll put off prayer until it's too late, and then we'll miss out, brethren. We'll miss out. And we need to be a people of prayer that act on prayer before the time runs out. We not only need to value the power of prayer, the fact that God has the power to answer our prayers and value that fact, but we need to pray. We need to act on time. And tonight I'd like us to look at these verses and point out some truths from Matthew chapter 26 that will help us to pray on time. That will help us to pray on time. First of all, I'd like us to note that if we're going to be able to pray before it's too late, to make sure we don't delay, make sure we don't put off prayer. First of all, we need to listen to God when He leads us to pray. We need to listen to the Lord when He leads us to pray. As we've seen in these verses, and as we compare the different Gospels, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Peter, James, and John, and He urged them to pray, not only once, not twice, but three times He urged them to pray. Would you agree that they understood what the Lord wanted them to do? There wasn't any confusion as to what they should be doing at that time. They could have been doing a number of things, but the Lord spelt it out clearly, three times, over and over, to make sure they knew what they should be doing in that moment. And likewise, when the Lord wants us to stop, when He wants us to take time aside, particularly for an immediate need, He'll let us know. He'll let us know when He wants us to pray. And He'll let us know, first of all, through His Word. He'll let us know what He wants us, when He wants us to pray, through His Word. Have a look at Psalm chapter 119 with me, please. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We see that God's word has the power to show us His will, the power to show us what's ahead. And I believe that applies to our prayers as well. I believe that applies to what He wants us to pray for. And as we spend time with God, as we spend time with the Lord and He speaks to us through His Word, He'll lay burdens on our hearts for different people, for different needs, for different trials that we're facing. He'll lay burdens on our hearts to pray for these specific needs. As we read the Scriptures, the Lord can bring someone to mind that He wants us to pray for. And He'll lay that person on our heart. He'll present to us a verse that would just speak as clear as day concerning the relationship we have with them. And he'll lay that upon our hearts to pray for them. He'll speak to us through His Word. And God will often speak to us specifically, exactly about what He wants us to pray for. And that's no coincidence. It might be someone you know that needs to be saved, and you've witnessed to them. And God is just challenging you there that you need to pray for them now, because there may be an opportunity up ahead that He's preparing you for. He will speak to you through His Word. The question is, though, are we listening? Are we listening to God? It's not that God isn't speaking to us. It's that we're not listening. Do you spend time with God in His Word? If you don't, then you'll miss out, brethren. You'll miss out on what the Lord wants you to pray for, specifically in this area. And we need to ask ourselves, do we pray and act upon what God leads us to pray for? If we don't, then it'll be too late to pray before the opportunity comes our way, and we'll miss out on what God wants to do through us. We need to pray on time, and God will speak to us through His Word. He'll also speak to us through the leading of His Holy Spirit. He'll speak to us through the leading of His Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8. And verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." If you're a saved Christian here today, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And we see in the Bible that God has given us His Holy Spirit to help us in prayer, to guide us in prayer. And part of the working of the Holy Spirit is to to draw out our prayers, if you will, and to help us to know not only what to pray for, but when to pray. And he often brings to our mind, like the Word of God, he brings to our mind someone that God needs prayer, and just out of the blue, a burden will be laid on our heart, and God will speak to us, and that's an immediate call to prayer, I believe. The Holy Spirit leads us to pray. And like the Lord Jesus Christ here in Matthew 26, if we go back to Matthew chapter 26, just as the Lord Jesus Christ urged these men to pray three times, likewise the Holy Spirit will continue to urge us to pray. When we neglect prayer, when we decide to pray later, when we put it off, the Holy Spirit will come knocking again. And he'll convict us about what we're putting off, about our disobedience. And he'll continue to remind us to pray. And to pray. To pray for that need. To pray before it's too late. You see, the problem isn't, brethren, that God isn't speaking to us. That's not the problem. The problem isn't that we don't know when to pray. The problem is when God speaks to us and he leads us into prayer, we have a choice to make. And far too often we choose not to pray. At least we delay it. And what we see in the scriptures here in Matthew chapter 26, these three men delayed prayer so long that they missed their opportunity. It was over. They had no more time. And we need to listen to the Lord when he speaks to us. We need to listen to the Lord when he speaks to us. Our yearly theme, pray without ceasing, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, is a command to be ready at any time to pray, to be always in a spirit of prayer. And that means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he leads at any time to pray. And so being ready to pray and praying on time is all tied in with praying without ceasing. We need to be ready to pray at any time, and we need to most importantly and first of all, listen to God when he speaks. Listen to the Lord when he speaks to us. And by the way, God might lead you to pray at a time that you think is not convenient. And that's okay. And that's okay, because here in Matthew chapter 26, the Lord Jesus Christ knew full well that these men were tired. He knew what was in their hearts. He could read their mind. He knew that they were physically tired. But yet he still asked them to pray, did he not? He asked them to pray even though they were tired. And God knows the need of the hour. God knows what we need most of all. And sometimes, unfortunately, we treat God as if he doesn't know what's going on in our lives. As if his request for us to pray and his conviction in our hearts and leading us in the Holy Spirit to pray is unfair and unreasonable. We treat God as if he doesn't know what's going on, as if he doesn't know that we have so many other things to do in life. And we resist God. We resist his leadings to pray. And I believe we see even in these passages that when we resist the Lord's leading, when we don't pray, it grieves the Lord. It grieves the Lord. When we look at verse 40, as the Lord said to Peter, "What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" I believe that was a statement of disappointment. I believe the Lord was grieved that as he prayed so earnestly, submitting himself to the will of the Father, and he came back and saw these three men that he loved asleep, he was grieved. He was grieved that they didn't listen to him. He was grieved that they chose not to pray. And we need to remember that prayer, of course, is not an action. Prayer is our relationship with God. Prayer, first and foremost, is our relationship with our God and our Savior. And the Lord wants us to be with him. So when he leads us to pray, it grieves God when we don't pray. When we put it off, when we choose to put him second place in our lives, under the most important things that we think we have to do. It grieves the Lord. It grieves the Lord. And there's something special, I believe, about spending time with the Lord in prayer when it's nighttime and when you want to go to sleep. And you put some time aside and you commit that time to the Lord in prayer. It's almost as if we're saying to the Lord that we're not setting any limits. There's no rush. It's evening. And however long the Lord leads us into prayer, we're there to pray. And I believe the Lord is pleased by that. And He blesses that. I like what R.A. Torrey once wrote in his book on prayer. He wrote, "Nights of prayer to God are followed by days of power with men." I think that's a fantastic quote. God blesses when we submit to His will, His leading, just to pray now, not wait. When He lays a burden on our heart, when He speaks to our hearts, He's pleased when we pray, when we come into a relationship with Him in prayer. And don't we need the Lord's power upon our life? The problem is far too often we're doing too much sleeping and not enough praying. And the longer we put prayer off, we delay to pray for what the Lord wants us to. And we're in danger of running out of time. We're in danger of waiting until it's too late. And suddenly we wake up and we realize, behold, the hour is at hand. And we realize it's too late to pray. We've missed out on what God wanted to do in us and through us as we pray. And we've said no to God and suddenly it's too late. It's too late. We need to pray on time. And that means or listening to the Lord when He leads us to pray. Through His Word and through His Holy Spirit's leading. And secondly, if we're going to be a people of prayer that take prayer seriously and pray on time, we need to realize that prayer prepares us for what's ahead. Prayer prepares us for what's ahead. That's why we need to pray on time. Because prayer, in fact, prepares us for what's ahead. Matthew chapter 26, look with me in verse 41. The Lord said, "Watch and pray, be alert, be on the alert and be in prayer, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We see in this verse that the Lord wanted to prepare these men for what they're about to encounter. He wanted them to prepare for what was ahead, what they're about to experience. We need to understand that it was nothing like they had ever experienced before. It was a crisis in their life. It was an event nothing like they had ever experienced. In the past, as we read through the gospel accounts, in the past we see the Lord wonderfully and miraculously delivered from anyone that tried to harm Him, from anyone that tried to capture Him, to kill Him. He was always miraculously delivered. Always, but not this time. Don't miss the intensity of what they were about to face here in this chapter. Now, we can't ignore the fact that these men loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved Him. They trusted in Him as their Messiah, as their personal Savior from sin. They had been with Him for 3 years. And what a wonderful joy it must have been to sit at His feet, to be in His presence, to be taught by the Lord face to face. And He loved them, the Bible says, like no one had before. And the disciples, they may not have understood what was ahead of them. They may not have understood the trials that they were going to face in the ministry. But they knew, just as you and I know today, that while we're in the presence of the Lord, there's joy. And there's peace. And there's fullness and gladness in the presence of God. And they would be safe. No matter what. And they had rejoiced in that presence for 3 years. But now, here in Matthew chapter 26, He would suddenly and aggressively be taken away from them. The Bible tells us in verse 47 that a great multitude with swords and staves came for the Lord. Out of the black and dark night, they came for Him. And they came to take him. And the Lord submitted to the will of God and allowed himself to be taken. And that wasn't all. That wasn't all. Not only would they be separated from their Lord, from their Savior, but also the betrayer would be revealed. The one who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ that he spoke about in verse 21, there at the Last Supper, he would be revealed right before their eyes. They'd see who it was that would betray the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was one of their own. They would come face to face with Judas, the one who would betray the Lord, a man whom they'd ministered with, who they'd prayed with, who they ate with and served the Lord together with, someone who they believed knew the Lord as his Savior, who they thought was a fellow believer, their friend. And suddenly they would see that he himself, Judas, would betray the Lord. And wouldn't you agree, as we consider these facts, that this was a great crisis point in their life? This was a huge crisis, an enormous trial that they were about to face. The Lord had told them beforehand that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He told them, but I don't believe they fully understood all that was about to take place and how true that is for anything, really, when there's a difference between knowing something and experiencing something. And the Lord had told them, but yet they really didn't understand what was about to happen. And the Lord, as the Lord was about to be taken away, they didn't really understand how it would affect them. But you see, God knew. God knew, and that's why the Lord urged them to pray. That's why the Lord asked them to pray, because he was preparing them for what was about to happen. In verse 41, we read that the Lord said to them, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." There was a danger. The Lord knew that there was a danger of them. There was a danger that they would face of falling into temptation. There was a danger of being overcome by what they're about to face, by the events at hand. And the Lord told them that your flesh is weak. You'll be tempted. There's a temptation. There's a danger to fall into sin. But at the same time, the Spirit is willing. The Spirit is willing. Therefore, pray. That's why the Lord commanded them to pray, because the Spirit is willing. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, we're spiritually strengthened for all that lays ahead, all that God wants to prepare us for. Our faith is established, if you will, and we gain confidence that God is in control and that his will prevail as we yield ourselves to what he wants to do through us. And that's why the Lord asked them to pray, because he was preparing them. But he warned them. He warned them that their flesh is weak, and therefore he urged them to pray. He urged them to pray. And see, you and I, brethren, we don't really know what's around the corner. We don't really know what we're going to face this week. What trials lay ahead. What God will allow into our lives to test our faith. What temptations we'll face. In fact, what opportunities we'll have. We don't really know, but God does. But God does. And that's why it's so important to listen to God when he calls us to prayer. That's why it's so important, because he's preparing us for what's to come. And that's exciting, because that shows the love of God towards us and how he protects us and how he loves us, because he's preparing us. He doesn't want us to fall. In fact, he wants his glory to be shown through us, through our response in that trial, or through our effectiveness in that opportunity. And he leads us to prayer because he cares about us. And he wants to prepare us for the opportunities to come. Perhaps the Lord knows that, and he's arranged already for you to witness to a workmate. He wants you to pray beforehand. He wants you to prepare spiritually. He wants you to be ready to witness before you get to work. And he'll lay a burden on your heart before you see this individual. And that gives us the confidence to be witnesses for the Lord. That's one reason why we pray before going out soul winning. Because we yield our hearts over to the Lord, and we tell the Lord that he has to work through us, and we depend on him and we trust in his working. and we yield to His will, and we expect the Lord to bless, and that's the only time we should expect His blessing, when we pray, when we're prepared in prayer. As we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no surprise that the Lord Himself prayed before every one of them. For example, He prayed before choosing the disciples. That was a major event. Also, the Sermon on the Mount. He prayed before the Sermon on the Mount. He prayed before He was betrayed, as we've seen. And He also prayed as He faced death on the cross. The Lord's prayers in His life were time crucial in preparation for what was to come. And prayer, my friends, is too important to wait until it's too late. It's too important. It's too important in our lives. Let me ask you, when was the last time that the Lord laid a burden on your heart to pray and you said, "No, Lord, I've got something else to do. I'll do that later"? Now, we might not necessarily have intentions to displease the Lord, but we put prayer off. We don't go and fall down onto our knees and pray for that request or that need that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. And then far too often we find ourselves later on in a situation that we're not prepared for. And we say to ourselves, "Why didn't I pray? Why didn't I pray? I'm not ready for this spiritually." And we miss out on what God wanted to do through us in that moment. And you see, God wants to prepare us through prayer. And when He leads us, when He speaks to us, when He leads us to pray for a specific need, we need to listen. And when we don't pray, we find ourselves in trouble. And sadly, far too often, that's the only time that you and I pray, when we're already in trouble. See, God doesn't just want to get us through the crisis. He wants us to use us in the crisis. He wants us to glorify His name by our actions and by our words. And so He wants us to pray beforehand. Now, that doesn't mean you can't pray during the crisis. But God wants to prepare us. That's what we need to realize, before the events occur, as we see here in the book of Matthew chapter 26. Prayer prepares us for the spiritual battle ahead. And when He leads us just to stop during our day, no matter what we're doing, remember, the Lord knows what we're doing. He knows our needs. He knows the need of the hour. When He leads us to pray, we need to listen and we need to obey. And we need to go to prayer. We need to go to prayer and pray for that need. Because if we put it off, if we wait, then we're in danger of delaying until it's too late. We really don't know when God will present that opportunity. It may be just after you pray. It may be in an hour. It may be in a day. But God specifically lays the burden on our heart for a reason. Because He's at work. And He wants to prepare us so that we'll be ready. So first of all, we need to listen to the Lord when He leads us to pray. Secondly, we need to realize that God is preparing us for an opportunity, for a need, for an opportunity to minister. And thirdly, if we're going to pray on time, if we're not going to fall into the trap of neglecting prayer, especially immediate prayer that needs immediate attention, we need to realize that there are consequences of not praying. God wants to prepare us, but we need to realize that there are consequences of not praying, of waiting until it's too late. Look with me in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50. We see that they came, and the Bible says, and laid hands on Jesus and took Him. The Lord submitted to the will of the Father and allowed Himself to be taken. He allowed Himself to be captured, and they laid hands on Jesus and took Him, the Bible says. Now, how did Peter, one of the three who was urged to pray by the Lord, how did Peter respond? Did he respond spiritually? Was he spiritually prepared for what he was about to face?
did his actions glorify the Lord? Remember, he chose to sleep. He chose to put prayer off until it was too late. Now the events are unfolding before him. How did Peter respond? In verse 51 we read, "And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." John chapter 18 verse 10 tells us that that was Simon Peter who drew his sword. And what we see here in the scriptures is that Peter's immediate response to the events at hand were fleshly. They were carnal, in fact violent. And that's how he responded to the immediate, that was his immediate reaction. It was in the flesh, and we know that the Lord was displeased. We don't have to question that. We know that the Lord was displeased because of the rebuke that comes Peter's way. But what the Lord says there in verse 52, have a look there with me. "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." The Lord rebuked Peter. He told him that his actions will lead to his own destruction. He rebuked Peter. There in verse 53, the Lord goes on and speaks to Peter. He said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" As the Lord rebuked Peter, he had to remind him that God was in control and not him. God was in control. And these are basic truths, but Peter was out of hand. He was in the flesh. He wasn't responding spiritually, and the Lord had to rebuke him. And look with me once again as we see how the Lord completed his rebuke towards Peter in verse 54. The Lord said, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" The Lord rebuked Peter by telling him that he was trying to stop God's will from being done. He was getting in the way again. He was acting in the flesh once again. See, Peter's actions weren't heroic. Peter's actions weren't honorable. They were fleshly. They were carnal. And it was sad that the Lord Jesus himself at this very moment had to rebuke one of his own. Even before his enemies, even before the unsaved, the Lord had to rebuke one of his own for acting in the flesh. And it was no coincidence that Peter did act in the flesh and that he didn't pray earlier on. And we know that's true from verse 41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The flesh is weak." And his weakness was shown in the flesh. At that moment, there are consequences, brethren, for not praying when the Lord leads us to. There are consequences for putting prayer off until it's too late. And this is the same danger that you and I face when we don't pray, when we put prayer off until it's too late and we're not spiritually ready for what's to come. The danger is that we would react in the flesh, that we would ruin the testimony of the Lord. And instead of being used of God to bring him glory, we damage his name. We bring damage to the Lord's name. There are consequences of not praying, of not being prepared, of not simply listening to the Lord and yielding to his will. See, Simon Peter, it's no different to you and I. He had good intentions. He had good intentions. We see in verse 33 that he displayed those genuine intentions when the Lord said that he would be betrayed by his own. And there in verse 33 that they would be offended. And Peter said, No, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to deny thee. Yet will I never be offended, Peter said. He had good intentions. He didn't want to dishonor the Lord. But you see, without prayer, without time spent with God, without yielding our will to his and being strengthened spiritually before a crisis, before an opportunity, Without that in place, when the crisis comes, the potential of the flesh is too great. If we're not spiritually prepared, the flesh will take over. And we see that in Simon Peter's life so clearly. And you and I will fall into sin. There are consequences to not praying. And so we need to value and love it when the Lord speaks to us. It's a privilege. Is it not when the Lord speaks to us through his word? When he places a burden on our heart, we should be excited because something's up ahead. And the Lord's in it and he wants to use us. And unfortunately, in this circumstance, dear Simon Peter showed us an example of not praying and then acting in the flesh as a consequence. And by the way, I don't want to gloss over this point because it is true how often the Lord will have to rebuke us in front of others, in front of the unsaved, before those who don't know him as Savior, because of our own fleshly actions, when we're wrong, just to show to us that we're not acting spiritually and that we've displeased him. And the Lord will do so. The Lord asked Peter, James and John to pray, and they didn't. They chose to put it off. They chose instead to sleep until it was too late to pray. And they weren't spiritually prepared for what was to come. It was too late. Behold, the hour is at hand, the Lord said. And it was too late. It was too late to pray. Verse 56, look at the end of the verse with me, please. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. We may not know, brethren, what trials are ahead or what opportunities are just around the corner, but God does. But God does. So be encouraged. And when he wants us to pray about something, we need to listen. We need to set specific time aside. This is apart from your regular prayer list. This is apart from your regular time of prayer. This is the heart of praying without ceasing. When God leads, we need to pray immediately. We need to listen to him when he does. We need to be prepared to set time aside and realize he's preparing us. Prayer is too important. When God speaks, it's too important to delay, to wait, to choose to sleep even in the evenings. It may be a trial that's about to come into your own family. And God, if you're a husband of a household here this evening, he may speak to you as the husband and the father and the leader of the household to prepare for what's ahead. To prepare spiritually to lead your family for the trial that's about to happen. And if you put that off, there will be consequences. You won't be ready. He wants to prepare us for what's to come so he can use us. So the Lord can be glorified through us. And as we have heard this evening, and we know this last term is jam-packed. And there are great opportunities to glorify the Lord here in our church and in the areas around us. And I thank the Lord for the many opportunities that are coming our way to glorify the Lord, to be a witness, to be a testimony. But I don't know about you, but I've found during this part of the year that sometimes some of the opportunities are really overwhelming as visitors come into our church and as we meet visitors at the carols, on our anniversary, when we meet people at the door and we're not spiritually prepared, it's overwhelming. We're not ready to respond spiritually. And we miss that opportunity because we've delayed prayer. It's not that God hasn't spoken to us. It's not that he hasn't told us what's ahead or warned us by conviction of the Holy Spirit. But we've chosen to say no. We've chosen to delay prayer. And the Lord wants to use us in a great way in this last term. He wants us to take those opportunities to pray. He knows that we can't do it in our own flesh, and we will ruin the opportunity in our own flesh if we choose not to pray. So let's not miss out, brethren, for what lays ahead in this last term. Let's pray for those needs that we know are coming. Let's not delay. But when the Lord specifically lays on your heart an immediate need, we need to fall before the Lord and pray. Perhaps you've been neglecting recently a need that you know the Lord wants you to pray for. It's there. The Holy Spirit won't let you go, but yet you still keep saying no. Be warned that soon it'll be too late. You'll miss out. It'll be too late. And I dread the idea that we'll go through this year and we'll really be challenged by the need to pray, but we won't do anything about it. We'll put it off. We'll let this year pass and forget about this issue of prayer and praying without ceasing. And we need the power of God and we need to be with him in prayer. And we need to pray before it's too late. Let's pray.